Yesterday we finished the first chapter. So what is the end of the first chapter? What happened? Sanjay, what did he say? Arjuna sat on the chariot. He visudhya saram chapam shoka samvignamanasa. So he was completely afflicted by shoka, lamentation, and his mind was completely bewildered. In this condition, Arjuna sat down. Now, as soon as he sat down, immediately second chapter starts. Second chapter starts with Arjuna, Sanjaya speaking. Now, why Sanjaya speaks first words in second chapter? He speaks the first words in the second chapter because as soon as Arjuna gave up his bow and arrows, who became very happy? Dhritarashtra. Conversation is going on with Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra became very happy. What I wanted, that is happy. So Dhritarashtra, if you see in the first words, he actually wanted Dharma Kshetra should influence the Pandavas. And in this way the Pandavas should become more Dharmikas. And then should think, why should we fight and go away? That is what Dhritarashtra wanted. What was his fear? That Dharma Kshetra should not influence his son. That was the fear. But what was his expectation? So now when he heard Sanjaya speaking this, Dhritarashtra was so happy. I'm so happy. Now seeing, understanding the mind of Dhritarashtra, seeing very happy, Sanjaya speaks these words. Sanjevacha Ramdata Kripaya Avishtam Ashrapurna Kulekshanam Vishidam Idam Vyakyam Vacha Madhusudanaha. Now Sanjaya is telling Tam Tata Kripaya Avishtam Ashrapurna Kulekshanam. Seeing Arjuna's condition, his situation was like this. Kripaya Vishnam, overwhelmed with compassion, so much of compassion was there for his relatives, and his eyes were filled with tears. Practically Arjuna was on the verge of crying. Somebody had to just go and dress his eyes, water would come down. Isn't it? Just before you start really crying, you'll find the eyes are like shining. Yeah. They're floating in like in tears. That is the condition. Ashru punakulekshanam vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudana. Uvacha madhusudana. Madhusudana spoke to Arjuna. And why is Krishna addressed here as Madhusudana? Demon, Madhu. So here, there are two meanings of the word Madhusudana. One is, he has killed the demon Madhu, that is why his name is Madhusudana. But here, Arjuna, Sanjaya is telling Dhritarashtra, Arjuna had the demon of doubt in him. Now Krishna is going to kill the demon of doubt. Now another meaning of Madhusudana is, Madhu means what? Honey. Now Krishna is going to ooze out honey from his mouth. That is the nectar of Bhagavad Gita. So now that honey is transcendental knowledge. Now that transcendental knowledge is going to destroy the ignorance in the heart of Arjuna. So these are the two understandings of the word Madhusudana. Now Srila Prabhupada explains how in the purport the same points about compassion. Now what is the reason of Arjuna's vishidantam, lamentation? The Arjuna's cause of lamentation was not compassion. Arjuna's cause of lamentation was misplaced compassion. Or in other words, compassion based on ignorance. That was the problem of Arjuna, isn't it? So now, though compassion is a very good quality, in this world we find one who shows compassion on the material platform, and one who is receiving compassion on the material platform, both are dissatisfied. Both become dissatisfied and they feel disgusted. What is this? Definitely, the parents, they show compassion to children, isn't it? They show compassion, they love them, they give so much. But now, what happens when the children grow up? What is the general complaint of every boy or girl when they grow up? They tell their parents, what you have done, you spoiled their life. What you have not given, nothing. So that feeling is there. Everybody, a husband, he tries hard so that he can satisfy the wife, keep the wife very happy. But she says, hey, what kind of husband? He cannot give you a proper house to stay. So once I had been to one of our donors' house. He doesn't give blood or donation, but he's a very rich person. It so happened I went along with one devotee who is a builder who takes care of a construction. So their house, we went there, and there both the donor and both husband and wife both were there. Now in the talk went on about construction of the temple, and they came down to building because he was a builder. Other person was also trying to, he was a businessman, so he was entering the building line. The wife was also sitting. In the talks, I was just thinking what they are talking, let's see. Then he told, see, I recently got this house about 6 months back. You know, that house it's worth 10 crore rupees, that house. Then the wife, she started telling, I don't know what kind of choice he has got. You see this flooring, this is all third class flooring. It's useless. I don't want to stay there, I'm not happy here. And this husband is looking at her like this. I could watch. See, what a situation. So much of love, compassion, so much he had. And now the object of love and compassion, that person is not satisfied. So because of dissatisfaction, that person is also dissatisfied. That is why compassion on the material platform may prove worse. Like a mother loves a child, has a lot of compassion for the child. Child falls sick. And she runs to the chemist shop. She goes to the medical shop and says, oh, my child is sick, give me the best of the medicine. The chemist says, you know, what is the problem? Gets the doctor. Doctor and all, they don't love the child. I love the child more. Who knows who has more love for the child than me? So give me the best medicine. She says, take this 1,000 rupees note. Give the most expensive medicine. Okay, you take this cancer medicine. She would come and give the child. The child must be suffering from common cold. And then he'll become more sick because of taking the medicine. See? So that is why even in the material world, a doctor is strictly instructed not to operate his own son or daughter or his own relative. Why? Because his compassion to them, what will make him? He cannot do the operation properly. So compassion on the material platform is going to be, will prove bad for both of them. Both the person who is showing and the person who is receiving. So that is what Prabhupada explains in the purport, saying that saving the dress of the drowning man is, so many people are showing compassion. They say, okay, anath ashram, okay, buddha ashram, annadan, vastradan, datdan. There is one charitable organization. They try to fulfill the last wish of every person who is dying. So it is a true, it's a true thing. That is a law. Any wish of the last person should be fulfilled. Everybody has different wishes. One person wants to send a letter to his son, I'm dying, okay, I want to see this thing, I want to go to my home and come back. All these things. One person said, for 1 week I am suffering in this hospice, just about to die. So for 1 week I have not smoked a bidi. That is my last wish. So as a rule, last wish has been fulfilled, the bidi is given to me. Okay. Read the purport.
Material compassion, lamentation.
Give the mic.
And tears are all signs of
not go long. Yeah, give the mic.
This one's like out of battery. It'll be worse.
Is it? It's charged. Yeah, that's yeah, frequently, right?
Material.
Yeah, you go on. Go on with your
this. This is a different cable, though.
Same. Watch out the wire. Watch out. Hey. Somebody took the wire from the yeah.
Material compassion, lamentation, and tears are all signs of ignorance of the real self. Compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization. The word Madhusudan is significant in this verse. Lord Krishna killed the demon Madhu, and now Arjuna wanted Krishna to kill the demon of misunderstanding that have overtaken him in the discharge of his duty. No one knows where compassion should be applied. Compassion for the dress of a drowning man is senseless. A man fallen in the ocean of nescience cannot be saved simply by rescuing his outward dress, the gross material body. One who does not know this and laments for the outward dress is called a shudra, or one who laments unnecessarily. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, and this conduct was not expected from him. Lord Krishna, however, can dissipate the lamentation of the ignorant man, and for this purpose, the Bhagavad Gita was sung by him. This chapter instructs us in self-realization by analytical study of the material body and the spirit soul, as explained by Supreme Authority, Lord Shri Krishna. This realization is possible when one works without attachment to the prudent results and is situated in a fixed conception of the real self.
Very good. So, what is there in the second chapter? Okay, before we go into that understanding, what exactly is written there? You go to the last words of the second chapter, purport last paragraph. Yeah. Generally, the last thing is the conclusion of the entire thing. Read, what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say?
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has summarized this second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as being the content for the whole text. In the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matters are Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. In the second chapter, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga have been clearly discussed, and a glimpse of Bhakti Yoga has also been given as the context for the complete text.
Okay, what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? The second chapter is the entire Bhagavad Gita content. So Bhagavad Gita gets over in the second chapter itself. But Arjuna wanted to eat him. That was his problem. Otherwise, we had only 2 chapters in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna wanted only 2. And Arjuna had doubts what we can do. So that is why you had to go for all the 18 chapters. Otherwise, second chapter, Bhagavad Gita gets over. So in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, you have Jnana Yoga or Jnana Mishra Bhakti Yoga. Text number 11 till 30. And then Karma Yoga, starting from generally from 40 till 53. Our karma mishra bhakti yoga. And a glimpse of bhakti is also given. Okay? Now people have this idea. What is the idea? There is karma, there is jnana, and there is bhakti. Three paths. Any path you want to choose, you choose. But here in the purport, last part of the purport of the first words, what does Prabhupada say? Krishna has spoken the analytical study of matter and spirit, which is known as Jnana Yoga or Sankhya. Okay? Sankhya Yoga and Jnana both same. Now this Jnana or knowledge. Okay, Krishna has told you are not this body, you are spirit soul. By hearing this, by understanding this, is it called self-realization? No. Just by knowing I am not this body and spirit soul is not enough. Because after knowing, to really understand that, you require to do activities in a renounced way, which is known as karma yoga. When you offer the results of activities to Krishna and perform karma yoga, you will realize the knowledge that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. So karma and jnana are not two different things, but both are one. Both are what? One. How both are one? That is actually subject matter of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th chapter. But I'll just give you a hint. Find out the words where Krishna says Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha. Ekam. 5th chapter. I know the verse number, I will not tell because you will do some exercise.
5.5.
Yes, 5.5. Your computer is good.
This is our system, you know.
Is that? Is it folio? It's folio?
Yeah, pocket Vedas.
Pocket?
Pocket Vedas. It has Bhagavad Gita, has Brahmasya Gita, Chaitanya Charita.
So which words is that?
5.5.
What does Krishna say? Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha. Sankhya and Yoga both are one. Why? Sankhya is the process of finding the root of the tree and Yoga is the process of watering the tree. Now, if you water, but you don't know where to water, then there is no use. If you I found out the root, but you don't water it, what is the use? So that is why karma and jnana are together. Even we find in this world also. Any activity if you have to do, you require knowledge. Without knowledge, you cannot do any activity. Other way, if you have knowledge and you don't act, do any activity, what is the use of the knowledge? Like you have a cycle. Now you don't know how to ride a cycle. What is the use of a cycle? Now, you know how to ride a bicycle, but you don't know. You don't have it. But you don't ride it. What is the use of it? So, the misconception which people have, what is the misconception? Karma Yoga is different, Jnana Yoga is different. This misconception has to be really cleared from people's mind. To such an extent, starting from that misconception, people started. You can take many methods to reach God. Is karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, hatha yoga. Now there are so many yogas coming. So many. And to such an extent, there is bhoga yoga also. There is bhoga yoga. Some bhogs is samadhi. And hearing all these things, one Bengali told, yato mat tato pat. Yato mat means, as many opinions. Yato mat. Mata means opinions. As many opinions, so many paths. So for you, you have opinion, that's your path. You have some opinion, it's your path. There are no many paths. There is only one path. There is only one path. Whatever has been described in the scriptures as different paths is not different paths. It's one path. Explaining, these are only explaining the different levels of that path. That's all. There is only one path or one ladder. Ekam Samkhyam Cha Yogam Cha. Elsewhere also you will find Sankhya Yoga Pritak Bala Pravadanti Na Pandita. Find out where is that?
I can tell you.
Keep quiet. Why? Yeah, they'll do some exercise. But you also should do, but don't tell. That's all.
Yeah, I found out.
You found out?
I actually went like this.
Ah.
Went to the previous
text. Okay, that's there. Okay, you found out that? The next text, what is there? Sankhya Yoga Pritak Bala Pravadanti Na Pandita. Sankhya Yoga Pritak Bala. One who says Sankhya and Yoga are Pritak. Pritak means different. Who is he? Bala is a childish. Only child will speak like that. Pravadanti na pandita. Learned people don't tell like that. Learned people, what they say? Sankhya and yoga both are same. So this is the proof for yatoma tatopa, different yogas, different paths. Quote, Krishna says this thing. Sankhya yoga pratak bala. No. They are one. Okay? So, the knowledge which has been given in the Bhagavad Gita about body and soul, that Sankhya, not this body and spirit soul, can only be realized when you work hard for Krishna. Simple. Without working for Krishna, just saying, I am not this body and spirit soul, it doesn't work. Okay? Now, as soon as Sanjaya told this point at Uvacha Madhusudana, Krishna spoke to Arjuna, who was practically on the just about to, the tears about to fall down from his eyes, he's crying. Now what does Krishna say? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutastva Kashmalamidam Vishame Samupasthitam Anarya Jushtam Maswargyam Akirtikaram Arjuna. Now Krishna is a friend of Arjuna. Now seeing Arjuna, he is... what happened? Kutastva. He is showing surprise. The word Kutastva means where from? What happened? In a surprise. He knew all these things. But surprise, he is showing surprise. Kutastva. Kashmalam idam. What is the meaning of kashmalam? Dirt. What is the dirt which Arjuna had? Ignorance. Where did this ignorance come to you, haunt you? Idam. And that too, vishame samupasthitam. That too, no, you have already, you know, you took the arrow, put the arrow on the bow, and you have come between the two armies. Vishame. Yesterday you should have told all these things, no? I would have not brought you here, isn't it? Yesterday only you should have told. Like a child, he goes to the examination, sits in the examination, gets a question paper, takes the answer paper, he reads the questions and tells the teacher, I don't want to write. You should have not come to the exam only. That is the meaning of Vishame. And that too, you are already just there in the battlefield. If you told yesterday, it was good. Anarya, it is not going to make you an Arya. Anarya. Jushtam. Aswargyam, neither it is going to take you to heavenly planets. Aswargyam, Akirtikaram. It will give you only infamy. Akirti means infamy. Everybody criticize you. So, in this world, you will suffer because of criticism. Akirtikaram. And you will not go to Swarga. That means you will go to hell. Number two. Number three. Neither you will attain the goal of life which is meant for an Arya. So neither you will enjoy in this earth. Neither you will enjoy religious happiness of going to heaven. Neither you will attain spiritual goals. So your actions are neither going to give you material happiness in this world, nor going to give you material happiness in the heavenly planets, nor going to give you the spiritual destination of going back home, back to Godhead. Anarya. What is the meaning of the word anarya? Yes, anarya. Anarya. Arya means who? Who is meaning? What is the meaning of arya? As you told, one who knows the goal of life is known as arya. But this word arya is highly misunderstood. Especially in India, you have this textbooks. You open the history page. They are the first page. The Aryan invasion. It's nonsense. No Aryans invaded. And some German says, originally Aryans were in Germany. The Aryans came all this way in this path and entered India. A Britisher says, no, they were actually from this part of this, in Ireland, somewhere they were there, these Aryans. They came all the way and then to India, invaded India. And some people say they came from East Europe. Some people say they came from Soviet Union, Russia. But you find this Arya word only in Sanskrit language. And they would say, further saying, earlier when the Aryans came from this place, they were there in this area of Pakistan, Sindh, that area. There some cannibals were staying. This is what the history says. Some ugly looking, dark kind of people who had no culture were staying. These Aryans came and they defeated them. They drove them down to South India. That is where they became Dravidians. Now staying there, these people, so called Aryans, they wrote the Vedas. And they created this language called Sanskrit. Civilization flourished there because of the Aryans. So this is what the history says. Actually, what history is being taught these days in schools for children is the greatest nonsense happening in this country. Prabhupada, when he said slaughterhouse, because of this history textbook. Because they are slaughtered. What is slaughtered? Their connection with the culture is slaughtered. That is why Prabhupada said slaughterhouse. Suppose, for example, if you want to defame a person, what do you do? You defame his ancestors, isn't it? That's what slangs, 90% of the slang is that one, consists of that only. You defame your ancestor, that means you're defamed. So you tell, oh, people living here, they were there, they were all came from aborigines. So actually, the whole World War, Second World War, was based on this, Hitler. Why? He wanted to prove to the entire world, we are Aryans. And he was not knowing how the swastik looked like. He took the Ulta swastik. You know? What? You know, sign of Hitler's Nazis, this thing? What is that? Yeah, it's like this. It's Ulta swastik. Swastik is like this. And it's Ulta. Reverse swastik. And because of that, he got defeated. That is very powerful. Just imagine how powerful was Hitler. But this Ulta swastik made everything. Ulta swastik, according to Vastu, is it gives a lot of power which destroys you. This Vastu says. That is why you should never Ulta swastik. Ulta swastik gives you a lot of power which is self-destructive. So, this is Arya. It's a big hoax. Now, Arya, Prabhupada says, Arya means one who knows the goal of life. That person may be in Africa, jungle. If that person knows the goal of life, that person is a Arya. That's all. So, this word Arya doesn't belong to any community or a class. It is not some these people staying here are Aryans. Like saying, the people who are in this land, they are Bharatiya. Now, what is the meaning of Bharata? Anybody knows?
Descendant.
Bharat.
Descendant.
Bha plus Ratha becomes Bharat. Bha means light. Bhati. Sun is called what? Bhaskara. Bhaskara. Why is sun is called Bhaskara? Because it gives you light. Kara means hand. The sun gives you light. That is why sun is called Bhaskara. So Bha means what? Light. Bha means light. And light, philosophical terminology, in philosophical language, it is synonymous to what? Knowledge. Om Ajnana Virandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya. Isn't it? Jnana Anjana Shalakaya. Timirandasya. Ajnana is compared to what? Darkness. Knowledge, darkness is to ignorance. Light is to knowledge. And whenever when we say, oh, he is in darkness, what does it mean? He is in a dark room or what? He is in what? He is in ignorance. Oh, he is having knowledge means he has light. So Bha refers to what? Light. And light means what? Knowledge. So Bha means knowledge. Now what is the meaning of Ratha? Rath. That is Ratha. That capital Tha. Engrossed. In Hindi we say na, ye isme Rath ho gaya hai. So Rath means engrossed. Anways? Engrossed. So, Bha means what? Light. Light means knowledge. Rath means engrossed. So, what is the meaning of Bharat? Engrossed in light. Engrossed in?
Knowledge.
So, one who is engrossed in spiritual knowledge is called Bharatiya. Or the place where people who are engrossed in spiritual knowledge stay, that place is known as Bharat. That place is known as Bharat. So how many people here, they are engrossed in spiritual knowledge in India? That is why British has told you are not Bharatiyas, you are Indians. India is my motherland and what? India world was not there before. Anyway, I don't want to get into politics. Come back to this point. That is, kutasva kashmalidam vishwen sampastitam anarya jushtam asvargyam makirtikaram Arjuna. Your activities, Arjuna, your way of thinking, what all you are told, it's all going to be useless, neither in this world, nor in heaven, nor it's going to make you successful in attaining liberation. So, purport. So, the purport, most part of the purport of Prabhupada consists on Sri Bhagavan Vacha. And I am not going to touch the topic. Why? Because the entire Bhagavad Gita, many places this topic will come. The future teachers would really explain this point in a more elaborate way. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan and all this stuff. Why Krishna is Bhagavan and all these things going to come in the 9th chapter, 7th chapter, many places. So keep that section for when that particular topic comes. So, okay, otherwise it's a big topic. Read only the last paragraph.
In the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna's lamentation for his kinsmen is certainly unbecoming, and therefore Krishna expressed his surprise with the verse Kuta. Wherefrom, such impurities were never expected from a person belonging to the civilized class of men known as Aryans. The word Aryan is applicable to persons who know the value of life and have a civilization based on spiritual realization. Persons who are led by the material conception of life do not know that the aim of life is the realization of the Absolute Truth, Vishnu or Bhagavan, and they are captivated by the external features of the material world, and therefore they do not know what liberation is. Persons who have no knowledge of liberation from material bondage are called non-Aryans. Although Arjuna was a Kshatriya, he was deviating from his prescribed duties by declining to fight. This act of cowardice is described as defeating the non-Aryans. such deviation from duty does not help one in the progress of spiritual life, nor does it even give one the opportunity to become famous in this world. Lord Krishna did not approve of the so-called compassion of Arjuna for his kinsmen.
So, again Krishna further says to Arjuna, in a friendly mode he is talking. My friend, what happened to you? Like you go along with your friend to a place, then your friend says, no, he becomes afraid of something. Then how do you feel? The same way Krishna says, hey, what happened to you? Now he says, Klaibhyam masmaga partha Naitatvayupapadhyate Shudram rudeta urbalyam Tektoptishta parantapa. Now Krishna is telling, my dear Arjuna, you may think that you want to show you are very much concerned for your relatives. But this is not concern for the relatives. This is your impotency. This is your impotency. You are covering up your impotency by your so-called speech of your concern and love. Your love for your so-called relatives is only a sweet covering. You are putting on your impotency. Actual problem in you is what? Impotency. So that is why it says, Klaibhyam masmaga partha. You know why? Who are you? Partha. Partha means what? You are my cousin. If you act like this, what will people think about me? At least for my sake, don't act like this. Naitatvai upapadyate. It doesn't befit you because you are son of Kunti and also son of, born through whom? Indra. Just imagine how many people you are putting to shame. Myself, your mother, your father. Everybody will be ashamed of your activity because of your impotency. And you may think, no, I am showing compassion to all the relatives. This compassion, what you are showing is actually not compassion. It is the weakness of your heart. Hrudaya daurbalyam. So give it up. And then uttishtha. Who are you? Parantapa. And I will help you. I will direct you. I am there with you. So don't worry. Get up. And then destroy. Okay? Read the purport. Go to the court verse.
Arjuna addressed as the son of Pritha, who happened to be the sister of Krishna's father, Vasudeva. Therefore, Arjuna had a large relationship with Krishna. He is the son of a Kshatriya, declined to fight. He is a Kshatriya in the name only. And if the son of a Brahmana acts impiously, he is a Brahmana in name only. Arjuna was the most intimate friend of Krishna, and Krishna was directly guiding him on the chariot. But despite all these credits, if Arjuna abandoned the battle, he would be committing an infamous act. Therefore, Krishna said that such an attitude in Arjuna did not fit his personality. Arjuna might argue that he gave up the battle on the grounds of his magnanimous attitude for the most respectable Bhishma and his relatives. But Krishna considered that short of magnanimity by a mere weakness of heart, such false magnanimity was not approved by any authority. Therefore, such magnanimity or so-called non-violence should be given up by persons like Arjuna under the direct guidance of Krishna.
So in this verse, Krishna has clearly told Arjuna, your so-called fear of sin and love for your relatives, it is only nonsense. Actual problem is your impotency. So you want to cover up your impotency by your fear of sin and all these things. Number two, you want to cover up your weakness of the heart by speaking about compassion. Going further. Fourth verse. Now Arjuna starts speaking. Arjuna uvacha katam bhishmamaham sankhe dronam cha madhusudana ishubhi pratiyotsyami pujaro arisudana. Krishna told him, what did he say? Uttishta, wake up, stand up and fight now. Then Arjuna was shivering. And now he tells Krishna, whatever you may say, but the point is, I can kill anyone. Okay. But what about Bhishma? Katam Bhishma maham sankhe dronam cha madhusudana. And then he says, Ishubhi pratiyotsyami pujarpo arisudana. Arjuna addresses Krishna in two names. What are the names which is used? Madhusudana and? What is the meaning of Madhusudana? Killer of? What is the meaning of Arisudana? Krishna, you killed demons. Who are your enemies? Bhishma and Drona, neither they are demons. Nor? Can you think of killing your teacher, Sandipani Muni? Your grandfather, who is grandfather of Krishna? Ugrasena. You cannot think of doing so. So why are you asking me to do? At the same time, they are puja arho. You may argue that they are treating you badly, but the scriptures say a respectable person, or when a person who is superior to you, when he misbehaves with you, still you should offer respect. Even though he misbehaves, you should offer respect. That is what the scriptures say. Now, Drona and Bhishma and Drona, though they may disrespect me or not treat me properly, still it is my duty. I am supposed to offer flower garlands to them. How can I shoot arrows onto them? That is his argument. Okay. And he's come to, at least Bhishma and Drona, I should not fight with them. Others are okay, Duryodhana will kill, all these things. He's anyway, yeah, he's not respectable for me. But Bhishma and Drona, he's singled out. Okay? Read the purport.
Respectable superior Bhishma, the grandfather, and Drona, the teacher, are always positive. Even if they attack, they should not be counterattacked. It is general etiquette that superiors are not to be offered even a verbal fight. Then if they are sometimes harsh in behavior, they should not be harshly treated. Then how is possible for Arjuna to counterattack them? Would Krishna ever attack his own grandfather, Ugrasena, or his teacher, Sandipani Muni? These were some of the arguments by Arjuna to Krishna.
Further. Fifth verse. Now Arjuna goes a little bit deeper about Bhishma and Drona, especially about Bhishma. Guru Nahatva Himanubhavan
Guru Nahatva Himanubhavan
Shreyo Bhokta. bhaktum bhaiksham apiha loke. Atvartha kamanstu guru nihaiva. Munjiya bhogan rudirat pradigdham. So, Arjuna says, if I don't fight, I don't have a kingdom, how will I sustain my life? Begging. Bhaiksham apiha loke. Bhaiksha means bhiksha. I'll take bhiksha and then eva. Why? Hatvartha kamanstu gurun haiva. Shreyo bhoktum bhaiksham apiha loke. Shreya means it is better for me to go and beg. Because guru na hatva hi mahanubhava. These people, Guru, are actually, especially Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, all are actually teachers. Kripacharya is a Brahmin. Brahmin is naturally a teacher. Dronacharya is also my teacher. And Bhishma is also a teacher. My grandfather, he taught me so many things. So, Guru, ahatva hi mahanubhavan. Ahatva means without killing them. Because why? They are Mahanubhavan. What is the meaning of Mahanubhavan? Great sons. Even though they are on the side of the evil people, they are great sons. They are great sons. That is why it is better for me to. But even if you consider, Arjuna is telling, even if you consider, they have fallen down from the position of being guru. The scriptures say, what does scripture say? If a guru is not following the principles of prescribed principles, then he should be given up. And also, it is explained in the Mahabharata, Bhishma himself has told Yudhishthira, O Yudhishthira, I, being driven by greed for money, I am taking the side of the powerless. So, if you think that they have fallen from the conditioned guru, what will happen? Hatvartha kamans to guru nihaiva. Even if, suppose for example, I kill them and win the kingdom, when I enjoy that kingdom, what will be there along with that enjoyment? That enjoyment will be tainted with
blood.
Whose blood? Those who are fallen. That is why, if you kill someone or if you take something from an evil person, what will happen? And if I enjoy that, that evil mind is there in the object which I am enjoying, so that evil will also enter me. That is why, suppose somebody has something and is very attached to that. So his mind is there in that object. If you snatch it from him and if you enjoy, what will happen? His mind also enters you. So Arjuna is talking both emotion and logic. Emotion is telling, even though they are anybody, that they are great souls. They are, even though they are on the side of Dhritarashtra, the Duryodhana, they are great souls. Even if you think they have fallen down because of being on the side of the Kauravas, what will happen? If I enjoy the kingdom, Rudirat Pradigdham. Now, yes.
What about, let's say, okay, in spiritual, like some spiritual master, or sannyasi, they fall down, then you should get them? We are not sure.
You're asking a very complicated question to me. Kaunteya pratijaniya name bhakta pranashyati. A devotee will never fall down. Okay, even if you fall down, only birds fall down, snakes don't fall down.
Their position is a fall down.
Hey, wait. How many of you got what I said? Yes. Yes, tell.
His spiritual level, his understanding should will fall down, but the soul will be transformed.
carry.
This is like those who really attempt to do something big. They will only
follow. They will only follow. Snakes will fall down or what? So even if you say fall down, it's a great attainment, achievement. At least you are flying, no? You are on the ground only. So this understanding you should have.
Means,
I'm just repeating what I heard from my Siksha Guru. She gave these two answers. What the first one? What was it? Onteya pratichaniya name bhakta. He never falls down. Number two. Even if you say no, he has fallen down. What? Birds fall down. Snakes? Don't fall down. Okay? And then, so that is why you should not talk about this fall down. What you should talk is, what as a common man, what, how much should I associate? That is a question which you should ask your counselor, your person. That thing you should talk about. And what to do with him is in the hands of the leaders of the society. There are certain things which the scriptures prohibit. It is very important to know. Manuspriti talks about it. Many Dharma Shastras also talk about it. Not only that, it is a general saying in a cultured Vedic society, which we hear as children. Don't try to find out Nadimula. What do you say, Nadimula? The origin of the river. Number two, don't try to discuss the chastity of your mother. Don't try to discuss the authority of your guru. These are certain basic etiquettes of a cultured society. Like that, there are many. I am just quoted a couple of them. That's all. So, it is not a subject matter for discussion. So, the subject matter of discussion is for you individually, for any one person individually who is affected by it, is what? He can go to the sadhu who he has faith in, should ask him, how much should I associate, how much should I not associate. So, respect should be given because he is still a Vaishnava. Still a Vaishnava, respect should be given. So, whether he should be guru or not, that is not the subject matter of your discussion. That is the subject matter of the society, the leaders of the society. That is their discussion. If you put your finger there, it will burn. Okay?
What is your reaction if you think
you're good or you? No, I do not get what it is.
What is your reaction?
What is my reaction? Okay, if my guru say kind of leaves the principles of Krishna consciousness, what is my reaction? As you are talking about reinitiation, that is a different subject. Reinitiation is a different subject. So this reinitiation is not recommended in the scriptures. It's not recommended in the scriptures.
If guru not
obey
the principle.
Let me just flow it one. It's not recommended in the scriptures. Maximum what that person can do is, he can take shelter of another Vaishnava, and then the word initiation or diksha should not be used there. You can use the word, I am under your shelter. That person may say, I am under your acceptance. I have accepted you under my shelter. But doing the ceremony again is not recommended in the scriptures. Though it is happening, I pay my obeisances to it. But scriptures say, Vande Gurun Nisha Bhaktan Nisham Nisha Avatarakan Tat Prakashan Tat Shakti. In that commentary to that verse, Krishna Sriviraj Goswami Shri Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur say, there is one Diksha Guru and many Siksha Guru. And both are on the same level. For example, if somebody's Diksha Guru leaves the movement or he leaves the body, that person, he can take, that disciple can take shelter of another person, but cannot take Diksha. The official ceremony cannot happen. Like, Diksha means Adhyatmika Vivaha. It is what? It is a spiritual. So, if a girl or lady gets married to a man, for some reason the man leaves or dies, the Vedic system, what does it say? This lady cannot be remarried. She can only take shelter of some elderly person who can give shelter. There is no question of any remarriage in the Vedic system. When it is true for some materialistic thing, what to speak of? Spiritual thing. Simple. You can accept shelter and then take spiritual guidance. But the word Diksha cannot be used. Cannot be used. That's one thing. That's what we should. You got the answer for what you're asking for? Yeah, you had something.
No, I finished.
You're finished. Is that finished?
Say when you first initiated, then you wanted to get Brahman, but in Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, that Vaishnava can give you.
Guru Maharaj can give you.
Yes. That it can give. So regarding this first initiation, second initiation, actually according to the system, the second initiation is the real initiation. But Prabhupada made the first initiation as good as second initiation. The standards for the first initiation, brought it to the level of the standards of the second initiation itself. So once a guru has initiated you, he is your Diksha Guru. Now he is seeing you whether you have the qualities of Brahman or not. So that is how. If you go to Gaudiya Math, traditional any math, they give Harinam Diksha the very day you go. And next day you say, Shevab, come, I'll give you your Harinam Diksha. So for them, the real Diksha is what?
Brahman
Diksha. After 1 or 2 years they see, then only. So that is the time when they do the Pancha Sanskar. I'm going to talk about Pancha Sanskar when it comes to 2.7. Keep it from hold. So the initiation is the sanskar. It is what? Like Vivaha Sanskar. Once somebody has accepted and the sanskar has been done, there is no question of sanskar. Like for example, a baby is born. Mother dies. Another lady can take care of the baby. But will she put the baby in the womb and bring it out of the womb again? No, the other lady will, somebody will take care of the baby. In the same way, once initiation is done, now birth is over. Spiritual birth has been
over.
Now, for example, for some reason the spiritual master has left or something, not there, left the body, left the movement, something like that. Then another person can take care. You're getting what I'm saying? Huh? I'm clear? Okay. I couldn't get
what?
Oh! This, who said Guru takes the reaction of disciple? Who says?
General understanding.
That is general understanding. That is why all is a big line. If you go to Gujarat, all the Gujaratis come. Oh, Guru Maharaj, Guruji, Diksha, Diksha, Diksha Jega. Now all my karmas are gone to you. Now I'll enjoy. You suffer for my karmas. It's bogus. Yeah, it's bogus. In my childhood, when a sadhu or any elderly person used to come to our house, or my mother taught me how to pay obeisances, how to touch their feet. You know how? You should put your hands like this and then obeisances. How many of you are taught this thing?
I remember.
Remember? Why? All my bad karmas, let it be with me. If at all something auspicious is there, I'll give it to you. So, on the day of initiation, Shri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what did he say? Dikshakale, Sishakare, Atma Samarpan, not Karma. Kharab Karma Samarpan. Bad Karma Samarpan. What did he say? Surrender, Atma Samarpan. Sei Kale Krishakare, Atma Samarpan. Oh, all my bad karmas, you take it. Yes. Scriptures talk about it. What? Why it talks about it? When a spiritual master accepts a disciple, he has accepted the responsibility of the spiritual progress of the disciple. So there are certain karmas which are hindrance for the disciple's spiritual progress. For example, a severe accident, going to coma, something like that, where he is not able to perform the basic. So certain karmas, by the will of the Guru, if he pleases, he can accept it. Like for example, a Guru and disciple, they are walking. Okay. Now it so happens that a car accident happened. The disciple lost both of his legs. Just giving you a small example. And the disciple has a bag to carry. And so what did the Guru do? He will carry the bag of the disciple, so that he can at least be comfortable in living. So, karma is like burden for everyone. Everybody has to carry. But in certain circumstances, some places where if the Guru wishes, he can take the karma of the disciple, with those karmas which are detrimental for one's spiritual progress. And that doesn't happen automatically. It is by the wish of the spiritual master. If he doesn't wish so, he may leave it. You're clear?
Good.
Yeah.
How can we understand that the Prabhupada also has often said that it is because of the you're not following the regulatory principles that I become sick. He actually talks about
it. It's true. So for example, somebody has taken the responsibility of running the business. Okay? And some person in the company, he is doing some theft. Who is at loss? Who is at loss? Both are at loss. But who has got the responsibility for the loss? In the same way, a spiritual master has taken the responsibility of a disciple's spiritual progress. So, sahana bhavato sahanao bhunaktu sahaviryam karavavahe. You know the meaning of this? I told, na? What is the meaning of that? This chanting is done by Guru and disciple together. Before learning, this has to be chanted. Om Sahana Bhavatu. What is the meaning of that? Bhavatu, Sahana Bhavatu. Let us study together. Sahana Bhunaktu. Let us eat together. Bhunaktu. Sahaviryam karavavahe, let us progress together. Tejas svinavadhitamastu, let us attain glory together. Mavit vishavahe, never there should be any envy between each other. So together, like husband wife, you just take husband wife on the level of material platform, he is like guru disciple on the spiritual platform. Guru and disciple, husband wife, both same. So if the wife is cheating the husband, not following properly the principles of in the household, who is going to be affected? Husband is also affected along with wife. In the same way, when the disciple is not doing spiritual activities properly, both are affected, but he has taken the responsibility. So, he is also affected. But in that way, you should understand. Hey, what are we doing here? Anyhow, Durutattva is going to come in the 7th verse, but you are doing it before only, yeah.
Say what about like before they actually get initiated, you know how like sometimes you do get like pre-initiation sickness?
Pre-initiation sickness, what is this?
they fall ill.
You know, which scriptures talk about it? It's everybody knows, Prabhu. There's pre-initiation sickness, there's post-initiation disease.
when the guru is going to give like initiation, they fall sick for a few days.
Acha, is it?
And so some people, even like Guru Gundasan Maharaj said, is that because, you know, Gurudev is sick for a few days because of initiation.
I am telling you, Iskan, the qualification to take sannyas, you should be sick. Most of the sannyasis are sick. You go and ask, Maharaj, please come. I am sick. You go to ask any sannyasi. Anyhow, so that sickness, even before he became Diksha Guru, also he was sick. Okay, there are so many people who are sick, isn't it? So, as I told, the scriptures say, if the Guru wishes, then he can take, not just by in the ceremony, he gave initiation to 100 people, now he has got 102 temperature. Not like that. Just imagine, 100 people's karma, you've just gone to him. Okay, if he has taken, why the disciples also falling sick?
They don't fall sick on that day.
And next day they fall. Okay, don't complicate the whole issue. Don't complicate the whole issue. Let us just be more focused on the scriptures. Whatever I give, this is scripture. Scripture says, it is on the wish of the guru to take the burden of the disciple or not. That's the thing. And that generally he takes only those which are okay. People have some kind of a mystic idea of initiation. There's nothing mystic. Mystic means mistake. There's nothing mystic about it. Krishna's Gavaraj Goswami, what is clearly told? It is on the day, sir. And that too, what initiation. That day, that performance, what happens? It is initiation ceremony. What is it? It is a ceremony. Like you have graduated from a college. Already you graduated, you know, you are working, everything. After some time, they hold a graduation ceremony. That is, so you already passed out. Everything has been done. It is only a ceremony. So already you are accepted by the spiritual master. Spiritual master accepted you. He has seen you. He has known you for 3-4 years. He knows everything. And he does only on that day the ceremony. It is not something big thing, some mystic thing. The Guru Maharaj gives the beads and gives the names. The karma is going to go out unseen to the Guru Maharaj. It's all. You new things are coming to know, you know. Good, I don't know all these things.
The banana that they gave me, there was that bunch of. So I put that bunch of in the extra.
Okay, I have to go and give class there. Where are we now studying? Okay, in short, I'll tell about this Guru Nahatvai Mahanubhavan. There is something called Saraswatartha. We have already discussed about it. You know, what is the Saraswatartha? The meaning which Saraswati takes. Now Bhishma is one of the Mahajanas, isn't it? So he is on the side of? How can a Mahajan be on the side of Kauravas? That is the question. Saraswati says, in spite of he being on the side of the Kauravas, his position of being a Mahajana is not degraded. How? So be very careful. Some little Sanskrit is there in this. So he Mahanubhavan, that is the word, isn't it? Huh? Combine both of them. Himahanubhavan, isn't it? What will happen? Himahanubhavan, okay? Now, after that, you break the word again. Himaha plus Anubhavan. What will become? Himaha plus Anubhavan. Got it? Make it very clear in your book, otherwise it will be confusing. Himaha plus Anubhavan. So, that one word, Himaha Anubhavan, we are divided into two. What are they? Himaha plus Anubhavan. So, forget Anubhavan for some now. Take Himaha. So, divide this word Himaha into two. Hima plus Ha becomes what?
Himaha.
Himaha, okay? Hima plus Ha. What is the meaning of Hima?
Ice.
Snow. Ha means what? Hanan. Destroyer. So, Hima means what? Snow. Ha means what? Hanan or destroyer. Who is the destroyer of snow or ice? Sun. So, another meaning of the word of sun is what? Sun is also called as Himaha, one who destroys snow. One who melts snow. In Himalayas you have sun, melts, becomes rivers, isn't it? So, sun is what? Sun is Himaha, okay? Now, Anubhavan means what? Like or similar to, compared to, like that, Anubhavan. So, what is the meaning of Himaha Anubhavan? Compared to sun. Who are compared to sun? Bhishma. Who is compared to sun? Bhishma. So, Bhishma is like sun. Bhishma has the characteristics of sun. Now, let us see what a sun is. What does the sun do? Sun touches the stool passed by some animal or somebody. By touching the stool through the sun rays, the sun, is it getting contaminated? Rather, what's happening?
It is purifying it.
In the same way, Duryodhana and Parthi, they are like stool. And Bhishma is like sun. So Bhishma, even though he is on the side of Kauravas, he is not touched by the contamination of the Kauravas, rather, his presence is purifying the Kauravas. How the Kauravas got purified? By being killed in the war. Now, take the story of who is Lord Shiva in Bhagavatam, is known as what? Madhavanas and also Vaishnavanam. But he fought with Krishna. He took the side of Banasura. Now, why Lord Shiva took the side of Banasura, Prabhuji? Okay. Why Krishna appears in this world? Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha, to destroy all the Krishna. He did Putana, Sakatasura and all these people. He thought at the end that I need to do something now. Get all the people together. And then? Isn't it? So, if he had to destroy Banasura, there should be a fight between Banasura and Krishna. Do you think Banasura would dare fight with Krishna if Lord Shiva is not supporting him? So, Lord Shiva supporting Banasura is Lord Shiva's service to Krishna. So that there will be a fight. So that Krishna can accomplish Vinashayacha Dushtita. Just imagine. Do you think Duryodhana would dare to fight with Pandavas without Bhishma's support? Would not dare do that. just because Bhishma is there, Duryodhana took the, you know, he went and then stood, I'll fight. So this is the reason Bhishma was on the side of Kauravas, because he was assisting in Krishna's vow. What is that vow? Vinashayacha. Not only that. Sometimes you find the great devotees of the Lord are the opposite party of the Lord. Sripad Shankaracharya, not Shiva. What did he do? He wrote Bhagavad philosophy against Krishna. But it was done under the order of Krishna. You have Jai Vijay. They took the opposition role. But for that is for giving pleasure to Krishna. Bhishma is also like that. Bhishma took the opposite side, because Bhishma is connected to Krishna in the Virya Rasa. And Bhishma is throwing arrows. Krishna is feeling garlands of flowers are falling on him. Because that is the relationship. Sometimes you have just a growing boy, young kid. He fights with the father. And he beats the father. And the father feels very good. Father feels very good. When Vishnu was running towards Krishna with a chariot in his hand. Krishna was running towards Bhishma with chariot's wheel in hand. Bhishma, looking at Krishna, he threw up the arms and told, "What a beautiful body you have. It is decorated with the dust, with the hair, being swung by the hair, from the air. And your completely, the face is full of dust. And now there are spots of sweat and blood." Now just see, Bhishma is glorifying Krishna. "Oh, what a beautiful body you got with sweat, dust and blood." Bhishma was shooting arrows, and arrows were passing through, almost cutting the hand sometimes, or cutting the chest of Krishna. Blood was coming out. And Krishna was so happy to receive the arrows of Bhishma. That is a Virya Rasa. When Bhishma was coming, when Krishna was coming towards Bhishma, that description is there, Bhagavatam, Sri Vishnu Chaitanya explains. And Bhishma was remembering Krishna running from the forest, the dust covered under his body. And he's coming back from the forest. And seeing the spots of blood and sweat, he's remembering his enormous pastimes with gopis. Sometimes gopis, when Krishna would take part in the pastimes, sometimes the nails of the gopis would scratch the body of Krishna because of the extreme love for him. The blood would come out. Bhishma is thinking about that. That Veena Rasa was experienced by Krishna, because of Bhishma's presence in the forest. So Bhishma's presence on the side of Kauravas is not a flaw in Bhishma. His position of being a Mahajana, of a great soul, is always there. And lastly, if Krishna wants to teach anything to the world, he uses only his... He wanted to teach Bhagavad Gita to us, he only taught it through his devotee Arjuna. He wanted to teach the whole world. If you take something from a materialistic person, if you eat the salt of a materialistic person, your mind will be contaminated. So don't eat anything outside. So your mind will be contaminated. The cook's mind is in the food, and that food will... So Bhishma accepted the salt of Duryodhana. That is why his mind got contaminated. That is what Krishna showed. But Bhishma's mind can never be contaminated. Like when Sripad Shankaracharya wrote the Mayavad philosophy, his Lord Shiva himself, how can he write? Sripad Madhvacharya says, "That Durtha, that rascal Shankara." How can an acharya like this can call Shankara, Shiva himself, as rascal? The explanation is, when Madhva says that rascal Shankara, he is addressing that evil potency in Shankara which wrote the Mayavad Bhashya, that evil potency called Maniman. That Maniman entered Bhishma also. Jiva Goswami explains this. So that is all about Bhishma. That is why here, what does Arjuna say? That Himahanu Bhavan, they are all great souls. Even though they are on the side of Parvati, they are supposed to be respected. Okay? Last question.
Bhishma Swarup is a gopi?
No, no, no. Even though Bhishma is a bhakta who has got the tinge of Aishwarya Jnana. So Aishwarya Jnana Yukta Bhaktas, though they cannot participate in the Madhurya pastimes of Krishna, but they can appreciate and sometimes even see that also, like Kunti Maharani. Kunti Maharani, she is not in the pastimes of Vrindavan. She is actually Aishwarya, Jnana Yukta Vatsalya, she has. But Gopya Vade Krita Gasidama Davat Yate Dada Shukalilan Jana Sambramaksham Vaktram Niniya Bhayabhava Nayasitasya Samam Vimo Yati Virgyat Yat Viveti. Kunti Maharani says this thing. What is she seeing? What is she appreciating? Yashoda trying to bind Krishna. She is not taking part in the pastime, but she is able to see, appreciate. That's what Bhishma does. Okay? Hare Krishna. Yes. Yeah, this material world also came from transcendence only. Matter doesn't come from matter. Prabhupada says, no? What is it? Chemical? Life comes from life. Even matter comes from life. So spirit is a source of matter. Krishna's body is what? Satchitananda Vigraha. He is the source of all the blood in the world. Some blood came out, what is the big thing in that? Isn't it? Some blood is short. He is the source of all the blood. All my blood, your blood, everybody's blood came from whom? Janma, Yasya, Yatata. Some blood came out, what is the problem? Okay. Okay, tomorrow, holiday. But I'll only take class for you on Monday when you have finished your homework. That is the condition.
Otherwise, Bhagavan will say, now give one more day holiday. Before that, I only give holiday. So, all you